Give him praise. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give him praise. Now, if that doesn't make you want to shout, jeez, then we got to get the dry bones going. We got to put some flesh on you. Woo, hallelujah. This morning, revival is coming. But better yet, revival is here. It's here. 8 years. 8 years I have been praying. 8 years I know other churches and other pastors have been praying for something to hit Reno, something to hit Sparks, something to come here and set precedence for our nation. And I believe it's time. And God is showing himself. If you've not been to this revival, you have missed a mighty, mighty outpouring of God's presence. And I'm saying it's God. I love Mauro Morello, but it's not Mauro Morello. I love Pastor Roger, but it's not Pastor Roger. I love the worship team, but it's not the worship team. It's God finally saying, enough is enough, devil. I'm going to prove to you who I am. Yeah. Tuesday night, I think we had probably 30 or 40 pastors there, because I seen them all kind of raising their hands and standing up. That shows something. Churches are finally coming to the realization, it's not my church. They're coming to the realization, it's God. And God is on the throne, and God is going to show himself. I believe what I preached so many years ago, found in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. So turn with me in your Bibles. Now, I know it's going to come up on the screen, but I want you to turn in your Bibles, because I got two words I want you to circle in that scripture. I want two words that I want you to circle. If you need a pen, there's a pen over there. But these are two words I think are vitally, vitally important to understanding what God is doing. And God will not do this, will not, until these things take place. The very first thing I want you to circle is if. Do you know that God is a conditional God? Huh? Come on. Do you know God is a conditional God? Right? Throughout the Bible, he gives conditions to follow. And if we follow them, then he will do these things. And if we don't, then he won't. He's a sovereign God. Somebody says he's a jealous God. I truly believe it. He wants all of you or none of you. Maybe I should say that again. God doesn't want mediocre Christians. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. And if you are lukewarm, according to Revelation 3, it says that he will what? I want to get a little more. There you go. I want to get a little bit more scriptural. I want to get a little bit more, you know, understanding. God didn't say he's just going to spit you out. He's going to vomit you out of his mouth. Now, that's telling me something. Today we have so many people going to church that are lukewarm. They're satisfied where they're at. They're satisfied just sitting and filling a pew. And God is warning you. He's giving you warning because he's coming back. And it's not going to be very long before he returns. And I tell you that if you are lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. He's going to say, you're not ready. And he's going to leave you behind for the tribulation time. I don't want to be there. Okay? Because I know if you can't make it now in his grace and love, what in the world are you going to do when he's out of the picture? are given to Satan. Given to Satan. I think two things are going to take place here. Number one, heaven is not as big as people think it is. And number two, hell is going to enlarge their boundaries. So, put that into your thought patterns and understand God is a sovereign God. Now, I don't preach. I don't normally preach this. I don't preach a very, you know, hellfire, but for the last week and a half, God's been, yelling at me. Not just talking, he's yelling at me. He's telling, get your people ready. I'm coming. I'm coming. The white horse is ready. The sword is ready. And Jesus is almost on that horse. And the trumpeter is ready. All he's waiting for is God to say, sound it. And I'll tell you something. If he sounds that trumpet and you don't hear it, you'll be left. So listen to what the scripture is telling you today. Every one of you, listen to this. Because revival is here. And if you can't make it, if you can't get revived of what you see going on you, if you can't get revived seeing what you see at that church, and I'm not, it's not the church. It's just people hungry. People want more than what they got. My message I preached on 3 weeks ago at Pastor Rogers Church, God, I want more. And that should be ringing out daily. I want more. I'm not satisfied. I'm just fed up with what the world's doing. I want more. The first word in that scripture, if. Circle that. If my. Whose? Is he talking about sinners right now? Are you listening? Is he talking about sinners? You know, if you're a sinner, you're not his people. So he's talking about you. If you're a born-again believer today, God's talking about you. If my people. Not if the sinners. Come on, that's a whole different scenario. He's talking about you. So he must know more than you know. If my people who are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity, this is out of the Amplified, my face. I'm going to say that again. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, they shall pray, they shall seek, they shall crave, and they shall require out of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways. Is he talking about sinners? Let me say that again. Is he talking about sinners? That's talking about Christians that have got lazy. Christians that have got lukewarm. Christians that think that they are okay when they're not. And God is putting it right in black and white and telling them, get it right. Get it right. Turn from your wicked ways because I love you. That's why he does it. Because he loves you. The next word, circle. Then. Do you understand if you want God to move? If you want God to move, there's conditions. There's an if, and there's a then. If you do this, then he will do this. If you want a blessing from God, then act like it. Do what he wants. But here's that word then. Then I will hear from God. heaven. Then I will forgive. These are God's people. What's it saying? I'll forgive their sin. Does that mean Christians sin? Huh?
Yes, it does.
Come on.
According to that, it does.
If you're perfect, you might as well go to heaven now. You know? Because you stay on this earth too long, your perfectness will have some spots in it. So he's telling Christians. He's telling you, and he's telling me. He says, if you will turn from your wicked ways, turn from your idolatry, turn from your proud-heartedness, turn from what you are doing that is wrong in the sight of God. Oh, I go to church every Sunday. I sing all the good songs. I even raise my hand. God's not caring about that. It's what you do the rest of the week. Are you listening? Turn from your... I don't preach this. I don't preach this way. But God is saying... He has got something special, special for Reno, Sparks, and the surrounding areas, and the people here. The born-again, supposedly, people here. The lukewarm Christians here. He has got something for you. He's trying to open your eyes. He's trying to open your heart. He's trying to open your soul. He's telling you, if you'll do these things, then, and only then, will I hear from heaven. Then, and only then, will I forgive their sins. Then, and only then, will I heal their land. Some of you need healing. And not spirit, not physical, spiritual. Let me take you on from that scripture. The very first part of that scripture says, if my people who are called by my name. Now, I'm dissecting this one verse to tell you who you are. Okay? Who you are. I know how the world is putting it together. I know how some churches are putting it together. That, oh, we live under grace, so we can do anything we want because we live under grace. Yes, we live under grace. Yes, we have Jesus that died for us, shed his blood for us. Yes, we have him going to the cross. Yes, we have him in the grave. But also, yes, we have him raised and on the right hand, the power side of God right now, interceding for you and I. So yes, we have grace, but let's not take advantage of that grace. That was an amen, by the way. We need to understand and we need to know who we are. That's how important it is. You need to know who you are. You are a child of the living King. Okay? We are God's children. 1 Peter 2:9 in the Amplified said, but you are a chosen race. How do you get chosen? Somebody up there loves you. And he chose you. Do you deserve it? No. Not one of us, but he's saying this to you and I. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you've got, I take 1 Peter 2:9 and I'd underline that. I'd highlight that. I'd memorize that. Because every day in life, you're going to be tore down. You're going to be taken down. The devil's going to come at you with both arms. He's going to have all of his demons come at you to try to tear you apart. That's his job. Steal, kill, and destroy. So, but God is telling you, read that scripture. When you feel like you're dead, read that scripture. When you feel like you're trodden down, 6 foot under, read that scripture. And then look the devil or Satan right in the face. I am royal. I am God's chosen people. And there's not a thing you can do, Satan, that can destroy what God has given to me. It's about time Christians stand up for what they believe. Instead of letting the wishy-washy Satans around us tear you down. I'm out of breath up here. Come on. Do you understand what God wants from you? He wants more than what you're given. 8 years I've been praying for revival. 8 years I've been calling out to God. God, this town. Why did I come to this town? I was told when I came to this town I was coming to a preacher's graveyard. Every preacher come here dies. There's no church in this town that even has anything for God. So you're going there when you're at Trinity Church, the power of God's there, and you're getting blessed. Now you're going to go there? So do you understand? Because I'm standing my ground for God, and I am not letting Satan do anything. Why do you think it's been such a hard time in this little church to get anywhere? Because Satan is sifting us, and he's sifting you. Okay? And if he can find any fault, he'll find it, and he'll use it against you. So I'm telling you, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are dedicated to God. Do you understand that? You're God's own, and I like that word, purchased. Because he did that. He purchased you. It's not anything we did, but it's all of what Jesus did. Do you understand? There is no way that we can be saved by the works we do. There are churches out there that teach you that. I'm not telling you not to do good works. Don't get me wrong. Because God honors that. But it's not your good works that are going to help you get to heaven by one means. It's by the work that Jesus did on the cross that allows you to receive salvation, receive forgiveness, and then do the works for glory of God. Do you understand? When you have the Lord on your side and he's blessing you and you have that internal relationship with him, your works will change. No more of your works for you are fire insurance. Your work is for the Lord. Just to see people saved. I want to see people saved. I want to see people healed by the presence of God. I want to see God do things that he said he would do. Don't let people say, well, no, that was for that day, and it's not for this day. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He did it in the past. He's going to do it now, and he will do it tomorrow. Do you understand that? I got to get going. I said this was only going to be a 10-minute message. Shall humble themselves, shall pray, shall seek, shall crave, and require of necessity my face. Whose face? Yes, Jesus' face. And turn from their wicked ways. The very first part of this is humble. Humble. We need to learn to come to God in humility. Humility is an attitude of the heart. It is not how we dress or what we say. King David cried out to God, "Who am I, Lord God?" Now you got to understand, here was a mighty king over all of Israel, an heir of the genealogy of Jesus, yet pride did not enter into his heart. He danced before God from in front of all of Israel. His wife complained, and we already know what happened to her. But anyway, he was a humble shepherd boy when he was first anointed. And after that anointing, he continued in that humble office as a humble shepherd over all of Israel. That's humility. We must know that pride brings down the fall of man. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction or a fall, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride. Saul became the king because of humility, and because of pride, he lost it all. He lost his kingdom, he lost his children, and he lost his life. Lucifer. How many people know Lucifer? Oh, that's ridiculous. Don't. I would stop watching Fox Channel. Some of the stuff they're coming up with is just unreal. Lucifer was God's most beautiful archangel. That means he just wasn't a normal angel. He was above. He was an archangel. He was considered one of God's authority generals. Yes, yes. And the problem was, he felt pride got into him, and he felt he was better than God. And he decided to take his throne, which caused his fall. One third of the angels went with him, and his name was changed from Lucifer to Satan, an accuser or one who resists. See what can happen? Pride. What it can do to us? Blessings and promises that come direct from God brings forth deep humility. The more God blesses you, the more humble you should be, ought to be, and probably are. When his blessings come, you know, what says the praises go up? The blessings what? They come down. I believe that we have to learn to praise God. I believe spontaneously we ought to lift our hands. Not have the song leader or the pastor tell you to lift your hands. When you begin to feel God's presence, lift your hands. One thing I think so much of Brother Muriel is the way he works when he has the people come down and pray. He has them come and pray for salvation, and immediately he has them come and pray for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. The quicker you receive that power, the more apt you'll stay with it and stay stable. So, the praises go up, and the blessings come down. We need to locate and remove any pride we might have if we want to see God giving revival. It is God who gives revival, not a preacher. It is God who gives a revival, not a location. It is God who gives a revival, not a certain time. Do you understand that? Open our hearts to what God wants to do and wait for him to do it. The second part of that verse is to pray, seek, turn from your wicked ways. We need to come to God. We need to come to God. We need to seek him. We need to pray for him. We need to ask forgiveness for our wicked ways. And then when we do that, he says, that's when he comes in. And that's where the blessings will come. Matthew 7:7 says in the Amplified, keep on asking, and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently, and the door will be opened to you. You take those three words and put the first letter into each of them. What does it say? Ask. Ask. It is God's will that we learn to reverently ask, and that we will receive what we ask for. Now, I like this one. According to his will. Sometimes we ask amiss because we're not asking in his will. And you know how do you ask in his will? You get the praises go up, the blessings come down. See, sometimes we'll be asking God of all the things that we want that we really don't need. You know? And by asking the things we want, sometimes he'll give them to you. And sometimes you'll regret it after you got it. Okay? Sometimes he won't. And then you get mad at him because he didn't. But see, that's when we ask amiss. What God is saying, don't ask that way. Get in the Spirit. praise Him, worship Him. All of a sudden, the desires that you want will change according to His will. So we ask according to His will. We seek diligently. Seek God while He can be found. Seek means you are looking for something you lost. If your Christianity seems weak, look for the power that God gives. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to find the Comforter and seek His power within you. I say that over and over again because the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost for a reason. It was to help the disciples be able to do what they needed to do. If you need salvation, then find the giver of salvation, Jesus, and fall in love with Him. Ask implies want. Seeking implies lost. Knocking implies need. One must ask with confidence and humility. Seek with care and application. And knock with earnestness and perseverance. Matthew 7:8 says in the Amplified, "For everyone who keeps on asking receives. And he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be open." If we begin to pray to God and seek His face and get away from the wicked ways, our Adamic nature, our carnal nature, then and only then will God bring revival to a nation, to a city, to our... Revival starts here. You got to just get to the point where say, God, like I preached 2 weeks ago, I got to have more. Because that's where revival starts. It starts here. The last part of this is, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. God can only move when we are truly repentant of our ways, our actions, and our thoughts. Revival comes when we ask God's help. We seek Him, and we repent from the things that might hinder His move. Christians can have hidden sins. I'm not saying you're not a Christian. I'm just saying that you've got things that you need to correct, work out. Salvation is a work in progress.
Yeah, I've seen people, I'm a work in progress.
Right. Salvation, I believe, is a work in progress. It begins the day you say, "Lord, forgive me." That's the beginning. It doesn't end there. Okay, so many people says it ends there. No, it doesn't. That's the beginning of a relationship that will grow and grow and grow. And sometimes growing relationships has struggles. Sometimes we do things that aren't right. It's not that we meant to do them. It is something that our human carnal nature goes into. God says, if there's sin in, if there's sin in the camp, He can't work. If there's sin in the life, He can't bless. So He's telling you, God desires and wants to heal the brokenhearted, the sick, and the financial disasters. If we want revival, let's start asking, seeking, and knocking for it. God is moving today in Reno, Sparks, and all the surrounding areas with His Holy Spirit. It is not just one church. It is for all who want something new from God. And I leave you with this. I'd say, if you're able to, make it to that revival. Just like we are here, I believe God's doing something here. But I believe if you're able to make it to the revival, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed. If you say, "Well, I just don't have a ride." No, that's wrong. That's an excuse. I'll get you a ride. I'll come and pick you up. I'll do whatever it takes so that you can make it to this revival, because I think this is what's going to help you. It's going to revive your soul. It's going to revive your spirit. It's going to make you see differently. It's going to make you look at Reno, Sparks, Nevada. 10 years ago, I was told, this is a, this place is horrible. This is a pastor's, death row for pastors. I could have listened to them, and I could have went my way. I'm not going to tell you it's been easy. I'm going to tell you it's been very, but it's the hardest thing I've ever done. I mean, I've evangelized. I've pastored big churches. I've done it all. this is the hardest I have ever, ever worked in my life. But it can also be the most rewarding when I see a soul come to the Lord. Let's do that. If you can make it to the revival, do. If you need a ride, call. I'll get you there. Some way, somehow, I'll get you there. Because I believe God is going to bless you. God's tonight, God's going to heal. Well, how do you know that? Because I know God. Okay? Tonight, God's going to break up financial disasters and make them miracles. Tonight, God's going to heal marriages. Okay? If I had to say I'm prophesying to you, I'm prophesying to you because this is what God does. He heals marriages. He heals broken hearts. He heals spiritual needs. He heals physical. Tonight, God's going to heal. There's going to be... That's it. But throughout all that, God's going to say tonight. So remember that and do come.